bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. Hour number three is now officially underway. 6 minutes after the hour. Still to come on the program, Sean Ross, SR Communications. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Also with the Brit campaign, big event they just had up in Madison earlier this week. So we'll talk some about that as well. So stay tuned for that. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the program. Hit us up on that text line. That's your best opportunity to be heard, if you will. Joining us now on the line, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. Very kind to this program and very kind to me on the radio over the years. Congressman Robert Aderholt on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Good to be with you. It's good to be with you down in Mobile.
Yeah, so I wanted to get you on. One last crack at it here before we go to Tuesday. Well, you were at the Katie Britt event, Marsha Blackburn there as well. But
I was. It was a great event. It was a great turnout. A Monday morning at 11 o'clock, and it was a great crowd there, and everybody was very enthusiastic. And I was honored. Katie had asked me to come up and introduce Senator Blackburn. You know, we served together in the House. Marsha was in the House for many years and before she went over to the Senate. And so we have been friends for many years. So I was honored to have a chance to introduce her to the group.
But I guess for Republicans, that's one, you know, not that there are many places where Republicans aren't doing well or haven't traditionally done well that they need to worry about, but you know, you always want to bolster your party there in places that
there's a couple of Senate seats and a couple of House seats up in the Madison County, Madison Huntsville area that are on the watch list that they look good for Republicans, I think, and I think the Republicans should win them. But they're closer than, you know, out of the comfort zone, I should say. So I think that was one thing, wanted to try to recognize some of those House and Senate candidates on the state level that were running. So, of course, I think things look great for Katie and her election next week. And Dale Strong, of course, is shouldn't have any problem up there. So things are looking very good for Republicans statewide. But like I said, there's a couple of House seats, a couple of Senate seats that are a little bit more close than they need to be.
Congressman, you've been at this game for a while. You're about to, I guess you'll be the senior member of the entire federal delegation once Shelby steps aside. But watching these elections as they come and go, and a midterm like this, we see it from time to time where the party in the White House really has a tough old midterm election cycle. For Republicans, it's supposed to, it has all the makings of a Republican wave, and maybe it's just we're in a different media environment these days. But my anticipation is we're gonna wake up on Wednesday a week from today, and the media is gonna be like, how'd this happen? No one saw this coming. But does it seem different? Does it feel any different than the ones you've been a part of in the past?
Yeah, it definitely does feel like there's the winds are at our backs here, and for Republicans, and especially as compared to 2 years ago, and 4 years ago, we knew that was going to be tough, especially from the House side. That 4 years ago is when we lost the majority. 2 years ago is when we was not able to gain the majority. However, Republicans did quite well, being that it went a lot better than actually the political pundits predicted. But I think anytime you have a president in the White House that it doesn't matter what the economy's doing or what is going on. When it's an off-year election, a midterm election, the party in the White House is at a disadvantage. And that, as you've probably heard, about 26 seats will go to the other party. and traditionally about four seats in the Senate. Now, of course, that's on average historically, so it varies from election to election. But just that alone puts the Republicans in great shape just because it's a midterm election and our party's not in the White House. But you couple that with the economy, prices. You know, my wife and I were at the grocery store yesterday, and I was just reminded of just how much things that I bought in the past have gone up. And it's really, I know it's difficult for a lot of folks out there that are, you know, living paycheck to paycheck and trying to make ends meet. And so they're wanting to say, we got to go in a different direction. And that's why I think they want the Republicans to take control and slow down some of this spending that they're seeing from the Biden administration.
What do you think it looks like? Well, a couple of things. Let's play this game, assuming Republicans take charge, or they're looking to take charge, and then you get the lame duck, and it looks like you got an appropriations bill you got to get done in the interim. But then divided government, and you remember the Obama-Boehner days. I mean, there were all these deadlines and right up to the last minute, and you're spending a lot of holidays there in Washington, D.C. when you're back, you know, traditionally been back in the district. I mean, what do you think that's going to look like beyond November 8th?
Well, quite honestly, every time of the year in December, most people think that, you know, Congress is in, we're out for Christmas for this long holiday vacation. Usually December is one of our busiest months, because we come back after we're out for Thanksgiving, and then we come back in the first part of December, and we usually have these appropriation bills that are right there facing us, because we've usually punted them down the field into the falls because of elections or whatever the case may be. And so we have all these appropriation bills, this year being a prime example of that. So I remember, you know, not being unusual, several days before Christmas, we're still in Washington. So this year is going to be another example of that. We will be there, I'm sure, just right up a few days before Christmas, because we have this end of government funding. The funding ends around the 15th. I don't remember the exact date. I think it's, I recall offhand, around the 15th of December. And so, you know, that's 10 days before Christmas. And so, therefore, we will probably push it up right to the 15th. And then when the 15th comes, there'll be a last-minute negotiation. So I would expect that we'll be there, you know, probably – if we get out a week before Christmas, that'll be very good.
And then beyond that, is it going to look a lot like it did with Obama, that these things are just going to be a product of divided government, it seems?
Well, one thing that we've got to get our appropriation bills done. One thing that we Republicans, if we do take control of the House and the Senate, we've got to be very careful in making sure that we don't capitulate to the Democrats. And just let them go ahead and run up a clock and do what they want to. You know, we could always push those bills until after the first of the year and wait until we have the majority and then pass the appropriation bills. Now, that's not the ideal thing. You want to go ahead and get them passed in the before the new year starts, before a new Congress starts, because you're already starting in your new appropriation year already, and then you're already got the last year's appropriation that's still hanging over your head. So it doesn't make for a good combination. So if you can get them finished, that's always the best plan. However, I'm of the opinion that we don't just do whatever the Democrats want to do just to get the bills passed. And so I think we have to be very careful in making sure that we won't be able to get everything, but I think that we need to realize that we can't just throw in the towel and say, you know, we're going to give the Democrats everything just so we can get these bills off the table.
Joined by Congressman Robert Adderholt here on the program. Politics, election politics wise, what's a realistic number? What are you hearing from your colleagues? What should we expect in the House come November 8th?
As far as the number of seats we should pick up or the number of seats? Well, right now the prediction is somewhere around 20, 25 seats Now, you know, there is some predictions up there in the 30s, maybe close to 40. You know, I didn't think getting over 30 was even a possibility a couple of weeks ago. You know, if we really have a good night, it could happen. And it's just it's really, as you can tell, even the Democrats are saying, and some of the liberal media out of on the national level are now saying, you know, things are looking really good for the Republicans. They were always very cautious about saying that 2 or 3 weeks ago, but now they're even saying that it could be a wave. So I think they're now, they don't have egg on their face. So they're now saying this is, could be a good year for Republicans, and they're admitting it. And it just goes back, you know, they have spent their whole, it seems like their whole issue has been trying to demonize Trump and also the abortion issue. That's the only thing that they have run on. And I think people are tired of that. They're concerned about the economy. There's other things that they're concerned about. And so I think that it's coming back to haunt them now, that they're now have spent all this time the last several months talking about issues that most Americans are not focused on. And so I think that's why we're going to see Republicans do very well next week.
Carson, is there any reason to think, I mean, we saw it with Clinton. We didn't see it with Obama as much as people thought. But after a bad midterm for the president, a Democrat, that is, that they moderate. Is there any reason to think that that's a possibility, that the Biden administration say, hey, we have gone way too, the voters have spoken, and we're going to try to work with the other side? Or is this just going to be kind of business as usual?
I think there would be some in the Democrat Party that would want to do that. The problem is that now you have such a large faction in the Democrat Party that are so far to the left that they are unwilling to do that. Back when, you know, Bill Clinton, he did moderate some and did work with Republicans after Republicans took control in 94. But I just think at this juncture, you have got so much pressure that's going on the Biden administration, you know, like the Elizabeth Warrens and the Bernie Sanders, there is a large contingency there across the country. Now, they're not a majority, but they're very vocal. And I think they're putting so much pressure on Biden and his administration that they just don't have any room to go there. So I would be very surprised. This is my prediction. This is just my thoughts entirely, but I would be very surprised if the Biden administration is willing to do much work with the Republican Congress.
What about the other side? And we'll wind it down on this, but, you know, a lot of this is going to come down to what the Democrats and how much they're willing to do. But I think leadership situation there is in flux. Pelosi obviously running for re-election, but I don't know that she sticks around if she isn't a speaker. Maybe she does.
Yeah, I don't see how she can stay around, especially them having a bad year. You know, she is at an age where last 2 years ago, she said she was not going to run again if she was able to be speaker again. So I just don't see a path forward for her. And, you know, she's just, you know, I think that a lot of the younger members are wanting or chomping at the bit to try to come and say, well, I think we can take this party to a new level. And, but unfortunately for America, a lot of those folks in the Democrat Party of that, of the younger generation, are more of the, from the left, are more left leaning. And even for Nancy Pelosi, believe it or not. And so I think that's what's, you know, what's the concern is for all of us.
Yeah. Knowing that, I guess the question is, what are you going to be dealing with going forward? And that doesn't seem to be quite as clear right now.
Well, there's going to probably be gridlock. I mean, that's just probably going to be the truth of the matter. But, you know, there's one thing worse than gridlock, and that's passing bad legislation. So, you know, gridlock is not always bad if it means that you're keeping bad legislation from being passed. And so I think that's what we have to, and you know, I'm just speaking, you know, I'm just being realistic. And I think that's, you know, how I see the next couple of years playing out, because I think the Democrats are just not going to be very willing to move forward and to work with Republicans. But maybe I'm wrong.
Congressman, we appreciate having you on. Best of luck to you and your colleagues on November 8th, and hopefully we'll talk again soon about it.
Thanks, Jeff. Always good to be with you, and look forward to being with you next time.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.